obstetric fistula is one of the most serious and tragic childbirth injuries that some women experience. Now, if you are hearing this for the very first time, please do not move away, because we have experts in the studio who are going to explain more about this particular condition. Well, joining me is UNFPA representative Jorugo Roberts and South Sudan Nurses and Midwives Association board member Jamilia Beda. Thank you so much for making our time to speak to us this morning.
Thank you. Nice to have you.
Right. So starting with Jamilia, just explain to us, what is obstetric fistula?
Okay. Thank you so much. As you heard my name, I'm called Sake Jamilia Beda. I'm from South Sudan Nurses and Midwife Association. We have come here to share with you what fistula is. Actually, fistula is it is a hole. It means a hole. Mm-hmm. It is an obstetric fistula where it occurs actually during delivery. And we have two fistulas, type of fistulas. We have vesicovaginal fistulas and the rectovaginal fistula, where the vesicovaginal fistula is a communication between the birth canal and the bladder. During delivery, when the head of the baby is passing through, and it is due to other difficulties, like in obstructed labor, and the head of the baby is big, the bladder is also there, and the birth canal, so there is that friction where it causes that hole between it. So when that hole occurs, and then it causes a leakage of urine to this woman, where it gives her really a lot of depression, because it is not easy to smell the smell of urine. And also when the rectum is full and the head of the baby is also passing, so the hole can also be there, and then whereby it causes leakage of feces, which is a very bad, both of them are not really endurable, because it causes a lot of things where the woman can also be abandoned, the woman can be isolated. People in the community will not even like to see this woman. So this woman enters into so many problems that even sometimes can cause her a lot of malnutrition, because nobody cares for her. Even the husband will run away. Even the real relatives will also run away. That is what fistula is.
Wow, I can imagine how tormenting this condition can be. Yes, Jorugo, would you like to jump in?
Yeah, thank you. I think I will start by some bit of a background on fistula. And I'm really thrilled to be here with you today on Radio Miraya. You know, it's not every day we get the opportunity to bring light to issue as impactful as obstetric fistula. So as we marked the International Day to End Obstetric Fistula yesterday, it's not only about the commemoration. It's about sparking a conversation that educates and informs. We at UNFPA, in partnership with the government of South Sudan, are working tirelessly to combat this condition, providing support for treatment and surgery. But our work isn't just about healing, it's also about prevention, which is why access to reproductive health information and services, quality midwifery services, and ending harmful practices such as child marriage are at the heart of our agenda. Why is all this crucial? Well, because information is power. And when people know about the UNFP and the Minister of Health fistula program, when they know where to get free fistula repair surgery, we can make a difference in the dignity of women. The theme of this year's commemoration is Ending Fistula, reflecting on 20 years of progress and charting a course for the next 7 years. This is a reminder of our journey so far and the road we still need to travel. So I am thrilled really to be part of this conversation today.
And thank you so much, Jorugo, for honoring our invitation. Well, Jamilia Beda, you explained that one of the factors that leads to this condition is having an obstructed labor. That means you have been in active labor for a very long time and the baby is stuck. Is there a way this can be avoided?
Yes, there is a way that we can avoid it. That is actually what the Minister of Health and UNEPA plus other partners and gender, and the Minister of Gender and Social Welfare, they are also working towards that, to end everything about fistula.
Mm-hmm.
Because fistula, actually, we can end it by empowering women. We empower women. You know that our women in South Sudan, they are illiterate. There are only few that are literate. So the majority are not. So you find that these women need to be empowered so that they know that they themselves, they can think and go to the health facilities. We actually encourage women to go to the health facilities so that they can get access to family planning, so that also they can get access to antenatal care, because there are so many things that are taking place in antenatal care where these women are also given health education on that. And also we need to end child marriage, because child marriage is the main cause of this, because these girls are not yet, their bones are not yet developed, especially the bones of the pelvis. And you find that most of the causes of obstetric fistula let us talk about like passenger, which is the baby, which is coming, and then the power, and then the passage.
Mm-hmm.
If the baby is big, and or if the pelvis of the child is still small, you find that this it will lead to obstructed labor.
Mm-hmm.
And then so here, and if also you see the passage, I talked about the passage,
right,
because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And also the power, is also doing like contraction, uterine contraction and so on. If it is not powerful, or if it is what, it causes prolonged labor,
right,
where it leads to that. And also family planning, people need to access family planning services. And all these partners, UNEPA, I mentioned before, Minister of Health, they are actually working towards improving family planning services. And now they are also, I think many years ago, they are now investing on midwives, because we didn't have midwives before, but now at least we have a number of midwives in South Sudan that can improve. But still, those midwives are not enough for our mothers. We need to give an awareness, sexual education in school, secondary schools, and even primary schools, because here you find that they are big girls.
Yeah,
sometimes,
teenagers,
you find
school.
Them even in primary school.
Right.
Sometimes we ignore primary school, and yet they are also there.
Indeed.
They need to be given that education.
Right.
And actually, SANAMA, South Sudanese and Midwife Association, is working on that, being supported by UNEPA and other partners, whereby we of course, our work is advocacy. We go to the schools. We also give continuous professional development to our members. So at least to end all this.
Right. And Jamila, if I may have just a follow-up. Yes, you have been capitalizing on the young girls because their pelvic bones have not yet developed. But can fistula happen to a mature woman?
Yes, fistula can also happen. And if the woman is not taken care of, that's why we are also encouraging emergency obstetric care, because you know, if the bladder is full, if the bladder is full, and the midwife maybe doesn't know what to do, or the midwife has not emptied the bladder, the head of the baby is coming as well. It can also cause what? Fistula. That's why our nurses and midwives need to have continuous professional development so that they can know how to identify complications and how to deal with the complications during delivery, and how to take care of women during delivery so that it doesn't end up in fistula. Fistula is not only for young girls alone, but we are emphasizing on it because most of the fistula cases are among the young girls.
Yes. Right. Thank you so much, Jamila. Yeah. Now, Jirugo, Jamila said one of the things that would help fight fistula is to embrace family planning, and UNFPA has invested hugely in this part. So just tell us more about how the people have embraced family planning, because over the years we've heard about husbands who have denied their wives access to family planning. Has this changed? Are people embracing family planning?
Unfortunately, not yet in this country. The situation is still grim. There is still resentment when it comes to uptake and access. Men still have control over their wives. They still do not understand the reason why women and more so young girls should be taking family planning. Mm-hmm. Others still believe that if young girls start to take family planning services,
they may become barren.
They are actually getting spoiled. But on the ground, sexual activity is taking place, and you know, young girls, as Jamilia had really explained, their pelvises are still soft. Mm-hmm. So these injuries can easily happen and lead to formation of fistula. However, there are already huge work that is taking place in the country in ensuring that we have improved uptake of family planning. Mm-hmm. We are working with the Ministry of Health. We're working with the Ministry of Gender, mm-hmm, and Child Welfare. All these to ensure that these issues are tackled systemically, mm-hmm, and working on policies to protect also the caregivers, because at the end of the day, people can come and blame the caregivers who are giving these services as to why these services are being given. And this has been happening all over the country. Mm-hmm. But steps are being taken in place and in collaboration with implementing partners, mm-hmm, and the ministries in the country, right, and all other stakeholders.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Jerugo, there. Now, Jamilia, yeah, one of the issues facing women who are already experiencing fistula, like you said, they get abandoned, they are not embraced by their family members, or maybe this could be because family members do not know how to treat this person. How can they treat this person?
Yeah, thank you so much. Actually, when we realize or we detect a mother like that has already developed fistula, we actually need to cater for this mother, because this mother will end up with so many complications if we don't. Sometimes you find that the closest family members, they also turn out to isolate these women. Mm. We are not supposed to isolate them. We are supposed to give them psychological support. And we are supposed to also look at them, because, you know, fistula can cause so many things like urinary tract infection, mm, even it can lead to kidney failure, malnutrition if they are not given food, mm, and they are abandoned by their husbands or their family members, even the community. There are so many. It leads even to chronic pelvic inflammatory disease, where it leads to infertility, and even sometimes they miss their periods.
Right.
So now, for this one here, because they are also more depressed, they have that stress, depressed, stigmatized, and so on. We need to give them psychological support. We need to counsel them. We need to tell them that they are still our members, and also we need to look for a way, because there is treatment for fistula. Mm. It is not the end of the road, because when fistula is repaired, it is like 90-95% success.
Right.
So we should really give them that hope that nothing will happen, mm-hmm, and we continue being with them, because we cannot abandon our people because they have developed
that uncertainty.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
All right, you're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show, and we are discussing about obstetric fistula. And with me are experts from UNFPA and also nurses, South Sudan nurses and midwives. Well, as we continue, yes, Jamilia, you say that this condition can be corrected. Now, if somebody's out there and they are experiencing fistula, where should they go, and how much does it cost for this repair?
Okay, right now, like my colleague said, Dr. Robert, that this is the fistula week. Actually, this is the fistula week, this is the fistula campaign that we are doing, and we have big centers within the country. Like within Juba, we have it in Juba Teaching Hospital, where repairs are done, and experts are also there. And we have also some in Malakal Teaching Hospital, and we have in Wau Teaching Hospital, and all those other hospitals in the states or county, they can connect. They connect with those hospitals, and those hospitals refer them to those centers so that they can those cases can be taken care of and repaired.
Right.
And repaired.
Okay. Yes, Dr. Roberts, would you like to jump in?
Yes, if I may add, yes. We are working closely with the Minister of Health and, of course, the state ministries of health, and including implementing partners all over the country. We ensure that implementing partners, including the state minister of health, are able to collect these names and list of people who are suffering from obstetric fistula, so that they can receive the services that are needed, the surgical repairs. So if I may give a bit of statistics, especially on fistulas in South Sudan, the numbers exactly are not known. So it is a stark reminder that it is not just the health condition, but also it reflects a wider socioeconomic inequalities in these countries that mostly affect women. So the Ministry of Health has estimated that there are over 60,000 women in this country who are suffering from this. And that this there could be more.
Yeah.
And then because there is no access to health facilities, probably these people are giving birth in the villages and they are unable to reach health facilities. So there are a lot of people who are unknown to be suffering from this. It could be more. So we are encouraging communities, of course, through this advocacy to ensure that if you know and you're out there in the community, you know someone who is suffering from obstetric fistula, please give them the access to this kind of registration,
right,
access to the health ministry in your state, and also some health providers, implementing partners, so that their names are recorded and shared with us at the national.
Right. Well, Jerogo Roberts and Jamilia Beda, because of time, this we will end this here. But before I let you go in less than a minute, what would your last remark be, Elsa, with you, Beda?
Yeah, I would like to tell the community out there that as in South Sudan, we know that we have cultural beliefs that we stick on them even when we have our policies are there. Some of the policies are dormant, like child marriage. I don't know why people are still encouraging it, because they think when you have a girl, it is an asset. Yeah, and you need this girl to get married as soon as possible so that you can get what you have. But let us think that these are our children. Treat your children the same. That's why we are tackling, we are also talking on gender-based violence, because most of the gender-based violence issues occur around women and girls.
Right.
Let us encourage girls' education, because girls also are as their asset, and they are also asset when they go to school and come out. They do a lot of things. So they let us encourage our girls to go to school,
right,
so that
so
it
much.
Delays them.
Thank you so much.
To have all these Jamilia. Complications.
Beda, yes, Jerogo Roberts.
Yeah, thank you. UNFPA is leading the global campaign to end obstetric fistula, including here in South Sudan, focusing on prevention, treatment, and post-surgery support, that is rehabilitation and advocacy. So the campaign aims to address this neglected public health area of obstetric fistula. So let's not forget that women's rights are also human rights. It is about time that we ensure every woman's sexual and reproductive health rights are upheld and respected. Together we can work towards ending obstetric fistula
indeed,
in this
indeed.
Country.
Yes. Dr. Jerogo Roberts and Jamilia Beda, thank you so much for your time.